Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:02 on ESPN 97.5. Let's bring in Max Olson. There is such a there's a lot of stuff going on, obviously, with what the SEC did. Then word came that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are starting to get together in a possible merger, or at least going to start to play each other. Max Olson with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Max, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Appreciate Man, we really appreciate you being here. Max, what's the latest on this, and what kind of consequences do we have from a possible merger, or at least the Big 12 and Pac-12 getting together?
Yeah, I think on the Big 12 side, the early word is I feel like the meetings were productive. I think the thing to urge there is some patience, that this is not, you know, just throw together a little deal in the next week or so with a conference. This is long-term strategizing and thinking. Certainly on the Big 12 side, right now the viewpoint is there are no bad options. You got to put everything on the table, come up with every possible creative solution to a very scary problem that these eight remaining members are facing, which is when Texas and Oklahoma leave your conference. Like this year, the TV networks paid you $28 million per school. Does that go down to $14 million or something even worse without those two schools in your TV deal? And so they are exploring any option they can find that will try to give them some financial stability, get them back as close as possible to where they're currently at, and also, you know, maintain their Power 5, Autonomy 5 status. So they are, I don't want to say desperate, but they are certainly eager to talk to anybody who can give them a solution, because I think, you know, you could pursue expansion down the road, but does that really kind of change the financial situation for the conference? Probably not that much. So sounds like, you know, kind of initial positive stuff. I wouldn't say, hey, they're heading to a merger or anything like that. I think right now the Big 12 is in a tumultuous position, and certainly the Pac-12, a little more advantaged. They're in a pretty intriguing spot here with a commissioner who just began the job on July 1 and is going to have himself a couple different options for if they want to make a move to respond to what the SEC did. It doesn't necessarily have to be with the Big 12. I think he's in kind of an exploratory mode here of, you know, do we expand or do we partner with somebody?
Max, you were with ESPN for 5 years. What capacity? Weren't you Big 12 or were you team specific? I'm trying to recall.
It was covering Texas and then it turned into covering the Big 12.
Okay, yeah, that's right. But you did cover the Longhorns. That's what I thought. That's why I want to ask you this. Oh, you covered Texas as in the state or the university?
I covered the university. Yeah, I was based in Austin. Yeah, I covered the university.
Okay, yep. So good. I want to ask you this. A lot of people believe that Texas was prominent in breaking up Southwest Conference. Then there was the thought that Texas flirtations with the Pac-12 were prominent in pushing Nebraska out of the conference. And, you know, subsequently, the Longhorn Network stuff also helped push at Texas A&M and Missouri out. And now you're going to have pretty much everyone in the conference who is going to blame them. Maybe not Oklahoma as much, but definitely Texas, for saying your grab at money and power all these different years is going to slaughter another conference. Do you think Texas bears the brunt of what's going to happen to the Texas Techs or the Baylors? Or is this, do you view this as, hey, this is just it's every man for himself anyway, and this is just the way college football works now?
Yeah, I mean, certainly for everyone I talk to in the Big 12, the sense is like we're pissed at Texas and we're really disappointed in Oklahoma. We never saw it coming from Oklahoma, but this is the kind of stuff that they expect from Texas. And even now they'll say, like, look, when we talked about expanding in 2016 with Houston and others, like, Texas killed that too. So, like, I think there's definitely a frustration among Bob Bowlsby and others there that, like, look, we've been catering to Texas forever. We've always tried to build this the way Texas wanted, you know, including with Longhorn Network and Texas having, you know, a bigger revenue, you know, same revenue distribution, but Texas making more money than anybody else in the conference and all that. And of course, that's what it gets us for playing with them all this time and trying to appease them. Now, of course, on the Texas side of it, you would say, look, it's not our job to subsidize everybody else in the Big 12, but, you know, we're the ones bringing all the money and we're the ones that should get to make the decisions and all that. And certainly bottom line, like, the SEC is the SEC and the Big 12, you know, couldn't have really done anything over the last decade to become the SEC. If you get this golden ticket, then you're going to take it. So I certainly don't blame them for taking that move, but certainly, yeah, there's a lot of hurt feelings and a lot of people that are going to feel like, depending on how this all shakes out, yeah, that Texas and their greed, you know, blew up this conference.
We got Max Olson with us here, national college football reporter for The Athletic on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back to this possible Pac-12 and Big 12 merger. Okay, without Texas and Oklahoma, it's pretty much irrelevant. The rest of the schools bring very little to the table as far as other conferences. The Pac-12 has been irrelevant as far as the national championship goes. Really, they haven't been represented for the most part in the national playoff. So two irrelevant beings getting together, does that make them relevant, or does it just make more irrelevance?
That's a good way to put it. It's funny because, like right now, I'm sure from the Pac-12 side of it, they're like, why do we need the Big 12? They need this more than we do and stuff. But you're right. I mean, the Pac-12, their new commissioner, George Plekoff, is certainly inheriting a lot of problems and a real perception problem in their conference. And certainly they are fighting the revenue gap with the SEC and Big 10 and everybody else, just like the Big 12 is. And so you would think, yeah, hey, maybe we need to explore this possibility in whatever that alliance looks like, that, you know, can we make our league stronger and more respectable? Now, do the eight members of the Big 12 do that, or does picking off four of them actually do that for you? Like, that's the hard calculation in all this. You're right. Like, how much does that, you know, if you plant your flag in the state of Texas as the Pac-12, does that really matter to people, you know, based on what the SEC is going to have going on? Like, so this is the hard deal here. And this is also why, for those eight remaining members in the Big 12, you know, they want to go out and say, hey, you know, Big Ten, ACC, Pac-12, do you want us? And maybe those things become possible. Right now, it seems like the sense among those conferences and their new commissioners is, yeah, I don't really see the value. Like, it's kind of a no right now. And so, you know, we'll see if those things come together. If they change their mind, they feel like they need to react to the SEC. But, like, individually, these schools are not being, like, super well received by these other conferences. And so that's why they have to talk about, hey, can we stick together? Can we bundle up? Is there more value in the eight of us sticking together than one of us trying to strike out and find somewhere to go?
What, Max, what's your sense on how many teams end up? Well, let me start here first. What's your sense of how long the Big 12 officially lasts and when Texas and Oklahoma will begin actual play in the SEC?
Yeah, it's, definitely two sides to that right now. I think that everyone understands that, look, Texas and Oklahoma are saying we intend to stay through the duration here through the summer of 2025. Everyone kind of understands, look, that's not going to be the case, that I would think they're going to, you know, attempt to enter into divorce negotiations basically with the Big 12. And how long did that take? And what, you know, what kind of settlement does that require? Right now they're on the hook for, you know, basically $75 to $80 million per school in terms of an exit fee if they try to leave early. So, you know, you talk to some folks on the Texas side who are confident that, hey, you know, we have a chance to go play in the SEC in 2022. I think other folks I talk to feel like 2023 is maybe a little bit more realistic, but that the legal part of that, certainly there's a lot to play out there still. And it is important to Bowlsby and the members of the Big 12 that, you know, they get what they're owed from Texas and Oklahoma for, you know, destabilizing a conference like this.
So, okay, maybe the question that Lance was going to ask, when it's all said and done, are we going to have a Division I that will basically be 64 teams or in that neighborhood? Is that how this is all going to play out in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years?
You know, I think if you ask Greg Sankey in the SEC, like, I think that's probably a little bit of the vision. Again, 5 to 10 years is probably the right way to put it. This is not something that's going to happen, you know, super imminently. But I do think we are at a moment right now, and Mark Emmert and the NCAA are admitting it too, that it is time to rethink all of this and to, you know, the NCAA's role in all of it, you know, needs to be really reconsidered and restructured. But certainly the SEC is building this power now where they're going to be making as much revenue as the NCAA is. And so, does it head in that direction where football is king and, you know, the Power Five kind of become their own thing, or a couple of those conferences become a little bit more semi-pro almost with collective bargaining and all that? Like, we are certainly in a moment right now where, it, you know, 5 years from now, it's not going to look anything like it does today.
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting to see how the power teams. I still think there's a chance that the big power teams will say, you know what, we don't want 64. We want to keep this pie as small as possible. And I think there could be some teams who have been Power Five teams for a long time get squeezed out of the mix. But I also wonder if this is going to be if the NIL is only going to exacerbate this, where teams where students begin to, or players who might have considered, four stars who might have considered some of these teams before, if you're not in the power conference, whatever that's going to be, the power conferences, maybe your chance to earn revenue, is this going to drive decisions of players? Because right now it seems like the players are all going crazy over NIL, NIL, NIL. I'm not sure it's going to look the same way, the NIL, in 5 years, though.
Well, but, and this is also what creates the urgency for these eight schools in the Big 12 is, you know, if this conference implodes, if some of them break off and go do their own thing, and then these schools are looking at a scary potential future that what if you do get stuck in the AAC or the Mountain West or whatever. And certainly as this gap grows and grows, you don't want to be on the wrong side of that and be, you know, you fall out of that kind of Power Five status, because you're right. I do think at some point, as these plates keep shifting, there's going to be a big split here. I think at some point we don't want to be on the wrong side of that. But certainly introducing money into this like we have this year too, I think you're right that is going to make it clearer and clearer what direction we're actually going in here.
So Max Olson with us from The Athletic, a national college football reporter. Just quickly before you go, Max, we're up against it here, but we're University of Houston. We got the University of Houston here. Now that Texas is in the SEC and the Pac-12 can't try to lure them, is there any chance, is it about market size anymore, or does that not matter, the television sets that you could possibly bring to the table? Because to me, they would be more attractive than SMU or Baylor or Kansas State or whatever, because of the University of Houston would be more attractive to the Pac-12. Is that the case anymore or no?
You know, I like, even as recently as this week on Monday, Bob Bowlesby, and talking to the Texas Senators, he claimed that in 2016, they just bottom line did not feel that Houston was additive to their conference from a TV standpoint. Now, if you lose the University of Texas, you would think that changes that conversation quite a bit. You know, and so is there an opportunity here for, you know, for Tillman and others to make a move and be in position here? I'm sure that is their goal now. And certainly, with the state of the conference, like, can the other Texas schools really kind of object to that, I think is an interesting question. But certainly when you talk to other, you know, industry sources on this stuff, they still see a ton of value in Houston and believe that, you know, that Houston would instantly bring value to the Big 12. And I think we all probably know that within 5 to 10 years, Houston probably would be one of the most competitive teams and programs in the Big 12, right? I think that's part of why they haven't been in the Big 12, is because people do understand there's that kind of upside. So certainly a fascinating position for Houston right now. And if this Big 12 can stick together, or at least keep seven of the eight together or whatever, and they do pursue expansion, I think they have to look at Houston differently this time.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the Pac-12 because that would be more alluring to me. Yeah, I think that would be a possibility.
You have to have the West Coast. Like, yeah. I know where we are right now, it only makes sense that the ACC, Big Ten, and SEC is involved in football, it seems like. But the reality is you don't want to lose the Midwestern portion of the map, and you have to account for the West Coast. Like, you can't just throw away the entire West Coast in college football. So I'm really curious to see how the Big 12 – that's why this whole Big 12 that you wrote about, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 talking, I don't know if you have a super team that or a super conference that comes from the merging of the two, which is a bit of a misnomer, a super conference. But at the same time, it would address some of the concerns of having those you know flyover states and the state of Texas and all of the West Coast teams that you want to keep in the mix. You know, it might bring the two of them together for their own, you know, larger conference.
I'm with you, and I think that the other key part of that is if these guys do go down this road and feel like there is an opportunity here to work together, I think you've got to also take that to the TV side and just see what is the value of that. Does that actually help us? Because, the Pac-12 schools certainly are hurting for money right now, but I think you still have to convince them that there is real value on the TV side of that for them. And so that's kind of the unknowable deal in all this is even if these guys do shake hands and want to figure something out, does that financially work out? But I'm with you. I think that certainly these are two leagues that need to find a way to keep up with these two, with the SEC and Big Ten running away from them. And certainly right now, if the Big 12 can find something, some option that convinces these members to stick together, then the Big 12 has a future.
That's Max Olson, The Athletic, national college football reporter right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Going to be an interesting next few years, Max, to see where all of this heads with the NIL and with all these the conference changing and whatnot. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Thanks for hanging.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
All right, there's Max Olson right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, we met last week, Billy Brown and his sister Mary, Michelle, and the people over at Aqueduct. They really are. They're really great people. And one of the things about a plumber is that you can pretty much, I don't know what kind of dealings you've had with plumbers before, but it seems to me that these guys, I'm telling you, Billy seems like a nice guy, and he is adamant about giving you a fair price, and he's adamant about coming to your house absolutely free. You can't, a lot of plumbing places, you can't, they won't do it for less than $69.
Automatic $69 to drive to your house.
Just to go to your house.
They'll apply it if you do the job. If not, give me my money.
Free estimate at Aqueduct Plumbing. And listen, that is awfully important. And it's somebody that you have to trust as well, because you don't know anything about plumbing. And they'll do repipe in a day. And you repiped your house. It took 3 weeks.
It took a long time. It was a nightmare. It was so hard. And then I found out that they had subcontractors from other. That's the great thing about Aqueduct as well. They don't have subcontractors. They're the ones doing the jobs. So that's why they can get these repiping done. And I had galvanized steel. We had a huge leak underneath our house that caused foundation issues. I mean, it was a nightmare. If you've got a house that's built in the 60s, if you haven't had those replaced or repaired or repiped, you are going to have the same issues I had. It's a lock.
You probably had issues with the freeze. So here's the deal. If you need to repipe, you call these guys. Or you need any kind of plumbing issues, you call these guys because they're really nice people. You'll probably talk to Mary on the phone. Tell her we said hi. All you got to do is go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com or call 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238 or aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Aqueduct Plumbing, they're at your disposal.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Join us at the Humble Gun Show this weekend only at the Humble Civic Center. Shop over 300 tables of guns, knives, ammo, and shooting supplies. Come and buy, sell, or trade. Whether you're a first-time buyer or looking for that special piece to add to your gun, knife, ammo, or militaria collection, we have what you're looking for. Visit our website, humblegunshow.com, or call 817-732-1194. Come Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. Plenty of free parking available. The Humble Gun Show at the Humble Civic Center this weekend only. Don't miss this show.
Lance Zierlein here, and Cars for Kids have been talking about what they do for a long time here in Houston, and I love it. They take all vehicles, running or not, cars, motorcycles, trucks. You can go to the website carsforkids.org. It benefits the Houston Can Academy, and listen, when you mention ESPN Houston, you're going to receive a $50 Visa gift card as a thank you for your donation. Pickup is free, and as always, it is a tax write-off. Make sure that you write off the car and not the kid by going to carsforkids.org.
After 45 years in the same location, Zadok Jewelers has finally moved just down the street. More than a store, it's an experience. Stunning new watch boutiques, in-house jewelry design studios, comfortable lounges, and an incredible selection of loose diamonds, engagement rings, jewelry, and over 30 of the finest Swiss watch brands await you at the new Zadok Jewelers. The Zadok family and staff are dedicated to making sure you always find the attainable luxury and outstanding service synonymous with Zadok Jewelers. Visit our new home at Post Oak in San Felipe or at Zadok.com. Now, more than ever, there are jewelry stores, and then there's Zadok's.
Hey everybody, John Granato here. I love Lafayette. I lived in Lafayette. I met my wife there. I don't know that you're going to meet your wife there, but you're going to love Lafayette as well. They got something going on called Eat Lafayette. It's a summer-long celebration of Lafayette's restaurants. There's something for everyone's taste buds. A lot of restaurants are offering great deals, and you can take advantage. And if you love Zydeco, there's live music 7 days a week. Lafayette, Louisiana is the heart of Louisiana's Cajun and Creole country. There's something for everyone there. Go to LafayetteTravel.com. This summer, enjoy Lafayette at Lafayette Travel.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 923 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Little Astro talk here. They're back home taking on Minnesota. You got a big dose of Jake Odor, Izzy, last night. And that wasn't, it wasn't good. Four in the first, another run. Mookie Betts just destroyed him twice, straightaway center, and then he crushed one to left. And then another home run, and it was 7-0, and it's 7-1, and it just was over.
It was a big dose.
And then late though, Carlos Correa with the soft sweep by homering off
it's
Joe Kelly.
It's not a soft sweep.
It kind of
is. I invented it, and it's not a soft sweep when you win 1-1. You have
one
to win.
Two.
You have to win. Oh, you go 1-1. You have to play at least. It used to be you had to play four games, but then I altered it to play three games, and you win the first two, and then the last game, you barely lose, or you have a good effort. So that's how you get the soft sweep.
Well, but if you Cadillac a home run off Joe Kelly, isn't there an asterisk? Like,
no.
If you're up like 9-0, but you pitch three innings and close the game, you get a save. There's the difference.
No,
see, it's a little
very
bit
firm.
Different.
No. As the inventor of the soft
Correa,
is the inventor of the soft
Joe
sweep.
Kelly, douche.
No, that's just a good thing.
Oh,
that's just a good thing. It's not a soft sweep, but I'll take the 1-1.
Yeah.
Like you said,
no, wouldn't
you take a 1-1? Look, Scherzer was pretty filthy with he struck out 10 Astros. He's going to be a problem. You won't see Scherzer unless it's in a World Series, so yeah. It doesn't matter. Scherzer's going to be a problem for everybody in the National League because you can really get by on two good pitchers. And if it's Walker Buehler, Kershaw doesn't even have to come back as in form at all. Bauer doesn't have to come back and play baseball this year. If you've got Scherzer and Walker Buehler, you're going to be a problem over there. But that's National League baseball. We don't care about that anymore.
Yeah, and then Cole Hamels, who's been, non-existent.
We care about the Twins. We care about the next victim.
Okay, so tougher playoffs. Rays, Red Sox, White Sox, Astros, and more than likely A's.
Wait, what do you mean tougher playoffs?
National or American
League. Oh, okay. Okay.
Rays, yep. Red Sox, White Sox, Astros, Athletics, or Mets, Brewers, Giants, Dodgers, Padres.
I think National League.
Oh, I don't.
I think, well, I'm looking at it this way.
Look at the
I'm
Mets.
I'm looking at your big three.
Now, if DeGrom is if DeGrom comes back,
but I'm looking
what's
at
the
your,
latest? I don't know. If he comes back, the Mets are a lot tougher. There's no question.
Yeah, but they're not the ones. I'm looking at Padres, Giants, just the teams from the West.
Well,
Padres,
but when the Padres or Dodgers eliminate one.
What about
in
Milwaukee?
In one game.
Are we just going to sleep
no,
on
Milwaukee?
No,
Milwaukee's tough.
Yeah,
Milwaukee's
they are tough. I think when you look at who's out in the NL West, and then you add Milwaukee to the mix, and even if DeGrom is he's in the latest, Jacob DeGrom is dealing with a new injury, provides loose timeline. He is confident that this frustrating injury is not going to end his Mets season, but that doesn't mean anything. He's confident of it. We'll see what happens. But I think for the American League, who are you looking at? You're looking at the Astros.
Well, hey,
realistically.
Listen.
The Astros, the Red Sox.
The Rays, Red Sox, White Sox, and Astros are four of the top six teams in baseball.
You lost a
four
really
of the top
good,
seven teams.
But the Rays lost a really good pitcher. That you just can't get around that.
Well, Derek, it hasn't hurt them much. I mean,
we'll see when it comes time to beat the best teams. What's their record against 500 teams
good,
or better?
They've been pretty good against the Yankees and the Red Sox, and I don't know what they've done.
So you're saying Rays, Red Sox, Astros, and who's the fourth?
Rays, Red Sox, White Sox.
Yeah,
Astros.
I'm not putting it.
Oh my
the White
goodness!
Sox.
Are you kidding?
I know how they're playing, but I just do. Do they strike you as a team that's going to be?
Oh, with their pitching.
Do they strike you as a team that's going to be a
Lynn
major factor?
And Rendon and Giolito. I mean, that's a 1-2-3.
Last I saw them, they're getting their asses kicked by the Astros. I don't know.
No, they kicked the Astros.
Oh,
ass
that's
last
right.
Year
on this second,
last year saw
okay,
they kicked
the time
Astros
before
ass.
That in Houston,
right?
They
right,
took an ass
right,
kick in, and
right.
That was yeah.
So the Rays without Glass now won four straight, once against New York and then three against the Red Sox.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Those
are pretty good teams. Well, Yankees not so good, but
yeah,
Red Sox pretty good.
No, they've taken care of business against they swept the Yankees earlier this
year.
Yeah,
maybe there's a little more depth in the American League. I still think the National League is going to be awfully tough at the top, but yeah.
But again,
I mean,
one team is going to be eliminated in one game, and that's the Dodgers or the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
So
probably Padres.
Well, we don't know. One game, you don't ever know.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know, but Scherzer on their mound.
It'd be
for
awesome
that one
if
game.
It, the Dodgers. I mean, trust me.
Or the Giants. If one of those teams catches the Giants, one of those teams is eliminated.
I'm cheering against the Dodgers doing anything, obviously.
That's
a pretty good question, though, because, you know, you would think it's just American League, but immediately, Glass now being out immediately altered my opinion of the Rays, even though they were a World Series team last year, and even though they've been very, very good this year, regardless of just one pitcher. I think I'm still probably don't give the White Sox enough credit for
They're
what they
good.
Have done, because I just...
No, the White Sox could go to the World Series.
I still have it in my head about when they... Do you really think, so it'd be Giolito, Lance Lynn, and who would be their third starter?
Carlos Rendon.
Rendon, yeah. And he's been good.
Been really good.
Do you like them better than the Astros top three?
Yes. Now, pitching, I like them better.
And I don't know
and,
who the
oh,
Astros
by the way,
top,
but they're getting healthier with the at the plate, too. So
right now, I don't know tough. Who the Astros top. If they had a chance to just set it up any way they wanted,
it would be
McCullers, Fromber, Greinke, I think.
Fromber.
Yeah.
And Fromber's
yeah,
been
no, I mean, there's certainly a lean to the White Sox in that on paper.
Yep.
On paper. But catch me in 2 weeks when the starting pitching's pitching great and all of a sudden
catch
our
me outside.
Opinions are maybe different. Because with the Astros pitching, I've noticed it doesn't take long to sway an opinion about where the Astros starters are. Because at one point we were saying, this might be the best rotation. Find a better rotation than the Astros. Now, like, I don't like them against the White Sox. God forbid they ever have to face the Brewers. God forbid they ever have to face the Padres in the World Series. Or how are you going to beat the Red Sox with Jake Odorizzi pitching? Well, I mean, I'm hoping Jake Odorizzi doesn't sniff the playoffs.
Honestly.
No, I don't think he'll be on the playoff roster right now.
No.
I don't think he'll be on the roster. 931 ESPN 97.5, catching up on breaks. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. U.S. women win the bronze. We're watching it right now. And
ton of goals. 4-3 they won.
Yeah. Well, Megan Rapinoe and Rapinoe. Was that her name? No, Rapinoe.
Yep.
You've called her multiple things, but it's Rapinoe.
Rapinoe and then Carly Lloyd.
The
Dash.
Two veterans.
Yeah, the Houston Dash. Carly Lloyd.
Is she still in the Dash?
No one cares.
Well, why did you say it?
Well, she was, though. So obviously that's her claim to fame. Houston Dash. Okay?
Jackie's right. The Houston Astros road to a World Series win could be identical to 17.
Yeah.
It could be Yankees and then Red Sox and then you face the Dodgers. It could be, that could once again be what you're looking
at. Yankees? Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll Yankees got to get back in it. But, yeah.
But, I mean, it's possible is what he's saying.
It is possible, but.
I just keep assuming the Yankees will be there.
I think the White Sox are going to play into it.
I keep assuming the Yankees will be there.
If Robert comes back on all cylinders, they're in trouble because they're getting healthy. And that was a big loss for them early on. They had a couple big losses, but they're getting healthy, and that's a problem. 932 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Do you like taking your car to a shop for maintenance or repairs?
Oh, are you kidding?
Exactly. That's why people all over Houston are using RepairSmith. RepairSmith will do all your car maintenance or repair in your driveway, safely, with no contact.
RepairSmith works on my car at home?
Anything your car needs. Oil change, battery replacement, or brakes, you name it. From regular maintenance to major repairs, RepairSmith will do it all at your home.
What kind of cars?
All of them. RepairSmith has specialists for every make, year, and model of car, foreign or domestic.
Expensive?
No. You'll pay the same you would at a local shop. There's no fee for coming to your house, and you even get a guaranteed quote before you book. No surprises or extra fees.
Life just got a whole lot easier.
To get a free quote or to schedule at-home car repairs, go to repairsmith.com and enter code RADIO. That's RepairSmith.com, code RADIO. Repairsmith.com, code RADIO.
Hey guys, I've been telling you about Charisma Car Wash, CARISMAWASH.com. That's the website. Three locations here in Houston. If you haven't stopped by, you're doing yourself a disservice. I've got a sweet hookup for you right now. $10 off the brand new high-end Simonized Ceramic Sealant Wash. This is going to be top-of-the-line wash, and you're getting $10 off when you use the promo code 5975. Go to the website, find a location nearest you, get a quick, clean, affordable car wash from CharismaWash.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 are hitting the road this Friday and heading to 500 Golf on College Street in Beaumont. Enjoy Miller Lite and Coors Light specials as we broadcast live from 1 to 7. It's all happening this Friday at 500 Golf in Beaumont.
Let's play a game. Pick a city you want to visit. Now go to besthotelrates.com. Boom! You win! It's that easy. When you're looking for the best prices on hotels all across America, start at besthotelrates.com.
This is Harold Gunn with Texas Outdoor News, and I have a special offer for listeners. Hybrid Light fills your lighting needs from flashlights to work lights to lanterns and more. These remarkable products charge from any light source or a USB cord, and they hold a charge for 7 years. Plus, they can be used to charge all of your mobile devices. Get 20% off their entire product line with free same-day shipping. Go to hybridlight.com and at checkout, enter discount code ESPN20. 20% off at hybridlight.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The Texas Trophy Hunters Association is proud to present the 45th annual 2021 Hunters Extravaganza at NRG Center. It'll be August 6th through the 8th, so it starts tomorrow. Check out all the latest deer hunting equipment, technology, hunting accessories, clothing, rifles, knives, archery, and other exciting gear. It's fun for the whole family. You can bring the kids to the Gator Country's Live Alligators and Snakes of Texas, and many other fun activities. Free active military and veterans with with, and veterans with ID, free entry for police and first responders with ID. The granddaddy of all Texas hunting shows is back at the NRG Arena. For more details, go to huntersextravaganza.com. If that interests you, call it right now. Caller 8 wins a pair of tickets for this weekend's event, Texas Trophy Hunters at the NRG Center between August 6th and 8th. Caller 8 gets a pair of tickets to that.
How about that? 713-780-3776. You know how I know there's an intern here today? Because you had caller number 8?
No, I always generally do caller number 8. If there was no intern...
You wouldn't answer 8 times.
No, I would.
You go with caller number 2.
I don't do caller 2. You're making things up. Why are you lying on me?
No, it's the truth. No.
I got a question for you. And I'll tell you why I'm bringing it up here in a second. What's the worst financial decision you've ever been a part of?
The worst financial move?
Let me go first so it maybe opens
having
up
a segment about wrestling?
No, the worst financial move. Trust me, you could also say golf. But here's why I'm not going to tell you why I ask, but here's
this one or Latrell Sprewell's?
I'll give you don't say what we're doing. I'm teasing it. What's your worst financial move? Mine, I can tell you one would be cashing out of Moderna when it was $92 on the stock market. It's over 400 now.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, so that's happened within the last year.
Yeah.
You've got also me standing up to take a quick break and being dealt out of a hand, a 3-card poker when I was in Oregon with Chris Solis was there. I was doing an SEC guy in Portland, and we stayed at a place called Spirit Mountain Casino. It just gave you the blues. I got up. I was dealt out. The person who got my cards in the very next hand got a 3-card straight flush, which paid, I want to say, $1,000+.
So
whatever the 3-card.
You really think that was a worse financial decision than your first marriage?
No, that one hurt because I had to pull my house out of. What do you mean you haven't paid the house for 4 months and it just went into foreclosure?
Right.
The legal decree said you were supposed to. Well, I didn't. Here, I guess I got to throw a chunk of money at it to get it back.
Right.
So, yeah, that's actually probably worse than.
Yeah, my first marriage was my first financial.
What about the money?
Probably worse than that. But I would say.
All your kids.
Those are blessings awards. Those are blessings.
You sure?
Those are the worst financial decisions.
What about your initial four guys?
The profit loss sheet is not kind to them right now.
What is it?
He can't hear. What about your initial floor guys?
Yeah, your floor guys. That was a bad financial.
Oh, yeah. That was
not worse than first marriage, though, or kids.
No, it actually was more. It cost me more, actually.
So why? That was a terrible time waste. Bad.
Well, do you have one that was a bad financial decision? Did you turn down a job?
I told you.
Yeah, but did you turn down a job somewhere, or did you pass on money, or did you do something that ended up costing you money?
A lot of card games have cost me a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's why I ask.
Sometimes they were terrible financial decisions.
Yeah, that's true. But that could happen any given day. I don't mean certain hands of cards where you stayed
right.
in.
Right. Yeah.
Dennis Schroeder really, really made a poor decision. He turned down a 4-year, $84 million extension with the Lakers. And his thought was that, based on the economics of a growing cap number, team cap number, and the inflation of cap adjusted amount, here it is, adjust the $70 million contract he had for cap inflation, and $84 million is barely even a raise. Well, I'm glad that you thought that way, Sam Quinn, writer of this article, because that's how your guy Dennis Schroeder looked at it. He said $84 million. You're basically crapping in my mouth with this $84 million. I just made 70 and you're giving me $84 million. What a disrespectful move that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's what's now your option. Now other people are signing deals with other teams, and now you now have three options available to you. One, you can sign with another team outright, and only the Hornets have $13 million
worth of cap space to create a contract for you. So you can take a longer-term deal for $13.6 million in cap space with the Hornets. You can go to the Pelicans for $11 million. Those are the two. I think there's one other team that may have $10 million left. You could also, if you're interested, go with the mid-level exception. So that's going to start at $9.5 million. You can rule out Cleveland, Houston, Sacramento. They're probably not going to be looking to add a player like you. If Washington was interested, he would have been in the Westbrook trade. They could have done a sign-and-trade deal. The thought is, okay, the Lakers could do a sign-and-trade. The Lakers aren't really going to be in the help Dennis Schroeder business. They don't really have an interest in doing something like that. So that's going to be highly unlikely. You could also, if not the sign-and-trade, and you better hope for a sign-and-trade, you could re-sign with the Lakers for substantially less money. Substantially less money, which nobody can do that. Nobody can go back and be happy turning down $84 million and then playing for $48 million. Like, that's just not going to be a thing. So what he's going to have to do is take a one-year deal, more than likely, prove himself, be on a prove-it deal, and hope that he gets a deal anywhere near $84 million next year. Dennis Schroeder completely overestimated and overplayed his hand, and now he is forced with facing the fact that he will have turned his back on millions and millions of guaranteed dollars, and he's going to be forced into a one-year prove-it deal. And then hope that teams find value in him beyond this. Because every year there's a new draft class coming in.
Well, and this is nothing new. The one that got me, and this is before the salaries exploded, but when Latrell Sprewell, after choking out his coach, he went to the Timberwolves, and they offered him a three-year, $21 million extension. And his quote was, "Why would I want to help them win a title? They're not doing anything for me. I'm at risk. I have a lot of risk here. I got my family to feed." Apparently, he's got a family of fatties that $21 million won't feed.
That was coming back from,
Did they eat a lot, his family.
That was in the, that was at about the same time.
This was in 2007, 2006, had he said this.
Wait, he said this in 6?
In 2006. Unfortunately, according to, then by the end of 2007, here's what happened to him. He was sued by his long-term partner for $200 million, while also alleging that he abused her. He had his yacht named Milwaukee's Best repossessed. He defaulted on his $1.5 million mortgage, and Milwaukee went after him for $3 million in back taxes. Sprewell made over $100 million in his career, and his current net worth is a mere $50,000. So, that $21 million might have helped. I don't know.
And he didn't sign with another team.
All I know is that to me was the first one, like, dude, what are you doing?
Just poor choices.
Just poor choices.
Sometimes you get...
Plus choking out your partner.
I thought you were talking about PJ.
He choked out his coach, and I think he's also abused his wife.
Yeah, so it was 2004-2005 when he turned down that deal.
Oh, it was 2004-2005, yeah.
And then other teams wanted him, but he didn't feel that they were coming up with that cash.
No respect.
So he never signed another deal.
Oh, they got a whole article on this.
Disrespectful.
John Amici turned down $16 million. Remember John Amici, the English basketball player? That's a hard one. You're a big enough long shot. You're a British basketball player. You are already a unicorn. He rejected a $17 million deal for 6 years. And I'm sorry, $17 million for 6 years. It comes out to about $2.83 million per season for a backup big. I mean, just a guy. He signed for $600,000 on a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
You have Joe Smith with the Warriors. He rejected an $80 million deal and got $1.75 million for 1 year.
What? What?
I'm in the middle of having a heart attack.
What about Buster Douglas? Is that in there?
These are just basketball players. Latrell Sprewell, $21 million for 3 years, $7 million per season.
Well, I thought it was our Joe Smith, the submariner.
No, he's not
ours anymore.
This is all...
Listen to John.
Allie LaForce is like, what?
She probably would have left him. Listen to John Amici's quote, because he was offered, as you mentioned, 6 years, $17 million, as you said, way back when the salaries aren't the same. This was in 99. He declined it, knowing full well what he was doing. He took a six-figure salary with the Magic. against the counsel of my agent, sisters, and best friend, against everything that says I'm not making the best of the situation, against my own best financial sense, I'm re-signing because I think the Magic need me more than the Lakers.
Well, okay, now that's true. That is true, though.
He would have backed up Shaq.
By the way, you remember how, you see how he put that? That was before he came out. He said, and my best friend.
Oh.
Remember?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was before he came out.
That might have been his best friend. It might have been his best friend.
Yeah, it might have been.
You never know. Yeah.
946 ESPN 97.5. We've got to take a break. 713-780-3. We could have more horror stories on the other side. Lance's last segment coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We haven't talked to some Texans.
Ooh, Nerlens Noel also.
Yeah.
He turned down $17.5 million a year and got $4.1 million.
And now he's a Knick, right?
And he's making about 10 a year for the Knicks 10? Now.
Yeah, about good for him. Well, I want to talk right now about that. You want to talk about a guy making some money, Chef Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Now, it's only because of how many. The dude has a ton of jobs. I mean, he ain't going to kill you, trust me. He's going to do the job for you. He was awesome at our house. I got to tell you, and it's not going to be fall here. It's coming up, and we used it a bunch in the summer too, but now that it's going to be nice outside, you grill, you sit outside, you have your dinner outside. We had the kitchen put in by Jeff Aronoff, and it was something that was not only improved the value of our house, but it was something that was so usable and something that we actually needed and loved. Because it's sitting in the house all the time with the kids, you want to be outside. You got a little TV out there, whatever you got, whatever it is. But it's got to be nice. And Jeff Aronoff gets that job done for you. So, what's your backyard? What does your backyard look like? Because Jeff Aronoff can fix it. He fixed ours, and it definitely helped us sell our home. And it definitely improved the value of our home, and it will do that for you. So it's so worth it. It is so worth it. Not only is it usable, but it's also going to make you money in the long run. All you got to do is give them a call and let them come and check it out and break it down for you. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Prescription products require an online consultation. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Think you might have ED? Not sure? Well, we'd like to let you in on a little secret. ED is common. About 40% of men experience ED by age 40. But the solution is simple. Find it at 4hims.com.
I didn't have to talk to a doctor in person. There was no copay, and the medication was shipped right to my door in discreet packaging.
Hims took care of it, fast and easy. Now our love life is better than ever.
Get access to doctors online who can prescribe you FDA-approved ED medication if appropriate. The same active ingredient as name brands, but 90% cheaper. Skip the waiting rooms and pharmacy lines. Get a free medical consultation and rise to the occasion or your money back. Go to 4hims.com/radio to get your first visit free. No copay required. The only way to get this special offer is to go to 4hims.com/radio. FORHIMS.com/RADIO.
The granddaddy of all hunting shows returns to Houston. The 2021 Hunters Extravaganza, August 6th to the 8th at the NRG Center. Bring the kids and see Gator Country's huge alligators and last season's bucks in our annual deer contest. Check out the latest in hunting gadgets and gear and enter our locked and loaded mega giveaway to win big. August 6th through the 8th at the NRG Center. For details and tickets, go to huntersextravaganza.com. A Texas Trophy Hunters production.
I'm in love with the coco.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Our Astros lose last night. They got Minnesota. Minnesota is here for four games, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. They got rid of their best pitcher, Jose Berrios. They traded him to Toronto. We'll see if he helps Toronto get in. I love playing the Yankees, but I think when you rather would you like to see George Springer in the postseason?
Would I like to see him as a fan or as an
opponent?
Toronto doesn't. I don't scare easy. Like you're terrified of every team. I'm not afraid of any team.
I hope we get to see the White Sox
terrified of anybody.
50 games in a row.
What did I say about Minnesota? It's good to have them here. Okay? You know, they're throwing somebody named Jax.
You're terrified of Seattle.
Like Jax Grill. J-A-X. Griffin Jax is throwing tonight.
Who are you not afraid of? You're afraid of the
Griffin
A's.
Griffin Jax.
The Mariners. Now you're afraid of the White Sox.
His ERA over the last 7 days is 1.80, but okay. He's got a 6.41, 22 strike, a 1.35 whip. You scared of Griffin Jax? No, I'm not. Next, it's Ober, whatever. 4.94, okay, a 1.27 whip.
That's better than Odorizzi. Okay.
That's not bad. Michael Pineda is up next up. 3.89. He's pretty good. He was a Yankee,
he's as good
remember?
As a,
remember,
he's
didn't he have flies all over him, Michael
he's as
Pineda?
Good as he gets for them.
Wasn't it in Cleveland he had all the, what was it, mosquitoes?
Was
or,
he a malnourished child? What do you mean well, he had flies all over him?
Oh, gym boy. He was... No,
flies
remember?
All over him.
No, don't you remember Michael? Was it Michael Pineda and that was in Cleveland and he had all kinds of bugs all over
no,
him?
No, I don't remember.
You don't
this.
Remember that? And then, Kenta Maeda, but he's not as good as he used to be. 4.65, a 1.32 whip. So that's who you're facing in this 4-game series. You go Valdez, Greinke, Garcia, and McCullers. You don't have to see Odorizzi until Colorado next Tuesday. Well, with a day off, do we really need to throw or just skip Odorizzi?
I mean, I prefer the second option.
Right, right. I mean, that was his day. Why don't you just, you know what? This was your day. Sorry, we're not playing. Sorry.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago, I was scheduled to be here for a Sunday show. Jerome was like, actually, we're not going to do it. The next week, they didn't go, hey, since you missed that day, now it's your turn. No, I just missed it, and I'm back in the rotation.
Missed it.
Sorry. Do that to Odorizzi.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot. Especially with the way he's throwing. So let's get your arm slot better. Actually, you have a quote from him, but we played it early in the show. And I think Dusty talked about him too, didn't he? He's scuffling. Dude is really, really scuffling. He looked really bad last night. He's a kind of guy, though, I think we said it early in the show, Lance. He's the kind of guy that we kind of could like, right?
I think so.
He's self-aware.
Yeah, I like his personality. I like the fact that he knows. I mean, I think he is a likable guy. I think he understood. He even said, look, I don't have the luxury of throwing a flat fastball. He's being honest with you. I ain't good enough to be throwing a flat fastball out there, or I'm going to get raked around the yard. And that's what happened by the Dodgers. They just crushed him. And unfortunately, in his last four outings, I went through this earlier, but 18 and a third innings pitched in his last four outings, 21 hits allowed. He's given up 8 home runs, including 4 yesterday. And then his strikeouts to walk were only 13-9. That's just not – none of those numbers are astrocentric.
Ugh.
And that's 4 games. It's not 2. It's not 3. It's 4 full – for his last 4 outings. Before that, you know, he was actually pretty decent in July until the end of July, and he was actually good in June. So it's really trending poorly for him. But Jose Urquidy, who we talked about earlier, Urquidy doesn't look like he's going to be back anytime soon. He's just building to throwing off of a mound. He hasn't even gotten to simulations or rehab assignments. So you're still probably a minimum of 2 weeks out on Urquidy, if not
least.
More.
Yeah.
So Odorizzi is going to have to keep doing his thing and trying to find his groove. But if he gets to be too much of a problem where, you know, if you feel like you're going to take automatic losses when he's out there, which I'm not saying that's the case yet, but if it stays bad, any chance they look at Christian Javier of sliding him back into a potential starter spot, or even skipping Odorizzi in a start and going with the bullpen start?
Again, when Christian Javier was a starter, when they didn't need him, when they had all those days off, they sent him to the minors. They sent him to Sugar Land so that he could build up strength. He's not doing that right now in the bullpen. He's throwing an inning, maybe an inning and a third, possibly 2 innings, and that's going to be an awful. It's a difficult transition back to this to the rotation. It's not like bullpen guys haven't gone and started, but it certainly is a stamina issue. It's an arm issue. It's a are you going to be the second time through the lineup and hopefully the third time through the lineup? Are you going to be able to maintain when you're? It's so much different. Look at Graveman. Graveman was a starter, and he was a below average starter in the big leagues. He goes to the bullpen the last 2 years, And he has been lights out because he lets it all fly when he comes in, as opposed to saving yourself some for when you're a starter. Now he goes in one inning. I'm going to let it go and throw as hard as I can. And look at how much better he is. And you would think that that might be the case with Javier too, the way he's got a whip and the way he throws. His whole thing is just control. But no, I don't think Javier is moving back into the. I don't think Javier is moving back into the rotation. I think they stay with Odorizzi until Urquidy comes back. You just keep throwing him out there. You hope he gets better. He's 4-6 now, which isn't horrible, but he just hasn't looked. He hasn't looked good in his last outings. He just hasn't.
Seattle. He's got the worst stuff of everybody.
Yeah.
There's not a starter on this in this rotation. I mean, you can throw in Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, Greinke,
Fromber.
Odorizzi's stuff is the most mundane.
Yeah.
Stuff on the roster. Yeah. You know that going in. You do have him for 2 years, if I remember correctly, though.
I wonder if he wouldn't be better served like Graveman, just going into the pen and letting it fly, as opposed to.
Maybe he could be your long. Well, like I said, why
didn't look all that good in the first inning yesterday? Just one inning, four runs. That was bad.
But what? Yeah.
But again, but is there any? It's chance, a different mentality when you go to the bullpen, though.
But is there any chance that, you know? Is there any chance that you say, okay, he's going to be the long reliever then? He's going to be the three innings, and Christian Javier is going to be our starter. Now Javier has to get used to throwing, you know, getting up to the five inning mark again. He hasn't done that for a long time. But I don't love the idea of, but then again, John, if what's your ultimate goal? To win a World Series, right? Christian Javier in the bullpen is more valuable than Christian Javier, the starter, because he won't even get a start more than likely in a playoffs. Remember, this isn't going to be the playoffs that we had during a pandemic where every single day you're playing. You're going to have a chance to get a little bit of rest in the playoffs on travel days and things like that. I don't think that Javier gets out of the bullpen this year. I think he's going to have to stay in the bullpen because he just offers – there's just too much value there. The value is greater for him in the pen than him as a starter.
Yep. All right, 9:58, you're done. I think that means that you're no longer with us.
Bye, bitch.
Whoa.
Bye, guys.
Well, I don't know that the kids wanted to hear that.
Which kids?
Well, the kids that need cars.
Do you think that's actually what goes on, that the kids get
cars?
No,
I think cars...
Well, I know my kids needed cars.
Well, yeah. Well, they needed wreck cars.
I wanted them to have cars so I wouldn't have to drive around anymore.
Well, carsforkids.org is not going to be like that. That's not going to be... They're not to help you people going to Kincaid. Like, can we get a Kincaid kid a car? What are we doing here? Yeah. Give these kids a chance. Give them a chance to succeed in life. It's hard enough going to Kincaid. Kincaid Cars for Kids. Could you maybe make it a Land Rover? All right, we'll take in a Mercedes.
Yeah,
an older model.
Can I get the sports package too?
But maybe don't send us a regular Toyota, because they'll complain.
Or Honda?
No, that's not a
jingle.
It's not a jingle that's catchy, Del.
No Hondas here.
Okay. Carsforkids.org. This company actually is doing things for kids, and here's what they're doing. They're giving kids a second chance at a diploma, and your car, your donation of a car or truck or SUV or motorcycle, whether it's running or not running, it's going to really help. They are going to come out and pick it up. They'll do a transfer of title. It's very, very simple. They'll search for it. They'll transfer it. They make it really hassle-free for you. And the great thing is, even if your vehicle's not even running, not even working, you're still going to get a tax write-off for that and a $50 gift card from Visa. It's a Visa gift card. When you mention that you heard about it from ESPN 97.5, you have to mention that to get that $50 gift card. Get the most out of this you can. But the Houston Can Academy is going to benefit from your donation thanks to our friends over at carsforkids.org. Go to the website for more information and to set up a chance for you to have your stuff hauled off and for you to get that tax write-off to give you the ability to say, I was able to write off the car and not the kid. That's why you need to contact my friends at carsforkids.org.
ESPN 97.5.